Our gospel lesson this morning comes from Luke chapter 24, verses 13 through 35. Now the same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Clopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amaze us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but they didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but they did not see Jesus. He said to them, 'How foolish are you? How slow to believe what all the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter into his glory?' At the beginning with Moses and with all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, 'Stay with us, for it is nearly evening and the day is almost over.' So he went on to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sights. They asked each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?' They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, 'It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon.' Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread." The word of the Lord.
Join me in the spirit of prayer, please. May the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable into your sight. May those things said today that are true be engraved upon every heart, and those things said that are false be quickly forgotten and cause no harm. In your name we very humbly pray. Amen. The text for this morning comes from the 13th verse of that gospel lesson that Zach shared just a few moments ago. On that same day, two of them were traveling to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. The two were Clopas and an unnamed follower of Jesus. Clopas is only mentioned twice in the Gospels, once at this text, and then again in the Gospel of John, where he is only given passing reference, as in Mary, the wife of Clopas. We know nothing else about him, and we know nothing about the other follower. So in our story today, we have two people on Easter evening walking to a nearby village. When a stranger drew near to them, and he saw that the two had been engaged in animated conversation, and he asked them what it was they were talking about. And incredulously, they ask, had he not heard what all had occurred earlier that day in Jerusalem? that women had gone to the tomb to memorialize, anoint, to bow before the tomb where Jesus lay, and found that the tomb was empty and that they had seen angels. You can almost hear the grief in their voice as they recounted what had occurred, and the confusion as well. And here, the stranger appears to them at the most unexpected moment. That's the way the stranger enters into our lives, when we least expect it, when we have our guard down. In John's gospel, on that Easter morning, Mary was at the tomb, and she thought that the stranger was a gardener until he spoke her name. And in this text, the stranger appears again, but he is not recognized for who he is. The stranger does come to us in the midst of our grief. The stranger also comes to us when we are in community. In John's gospel, Jesus said to his disciples on his last night that he was going to be going away, but that they need not worry because he was not going to leave them orphaned. He was not going to leave them alone, but another would come in his place, the advocate, the paraclete, the Holy Spirit. And in the synoptic gospels, Jesus said to those who would take him seriously, "Wherever two or three of you are gathered in my name, I will be in the midst of you." Today's passage reminds us of the importance of being in community. In the beginning, when God brought order out of chaos, he created them male and female in the divine image. In the second creation story, or the second version of the creation story in Genesis, when the first human being was created and placed in the most perfect garden in a paradise on earth, he was incomplete until God formed from his side woman. God did not form from his side woman from God did not form from the man a bone from his foot, lest he should lord over her, nor a bone from the head, lest she should lord over him, but a bone from the side, so that the two could walk side by side and support one another. We are complete, we are whole, only when we are in community. God did not attend anyone to be a lone ranger, for we are in this together. I thought often about why God created us to be in community. And I think it is somewhat analogous to the rock polisher that I inherited. When my father-in-law died, I was bequeathed or given a little rock polisher that he had used to polish stones. It was a round cylinder, rubber, hard rubber type material. And over the course of several years, I used it to polish rocks, and there was a method to it. First, you put the rocks in together with some water and some very, very coarse grit, and then you turn it on and you let it spin for days and weeks on end. And then you empty it out and you wash off the rocks and you put them back in again with water and a finer grit, and so it goes through several cycles. And when the process is over, the rocks are things of beauty, for all the rough edges and the dullness and the darkness has been rubbed away. In the epistle of 1 Peter, the writer said that we ought to love one another with true love. We've been called to be in community so that we can rub the rough edges off one another, that together we can be shaped and formed into things of beauty, more in the likeness of the risen Lord. Christ appears to us in the midst of our grief as a stranger. Christ is with us when we are in community. And Christ is revealed to us in the sacraments. In the sacrament of baptism, we're reminded of God's unconditional love that never, ever lets us go. And in the sacrament of communion, we are reminded that it is there with the breaking of the bread that Cleopas and the other follower of Jesus had their eyes opened and they recognized him. The sacraments are essential to our life together. In keeping in this spirit, our executive board at their last meeting decided to reinstitute into our 10 o'clock worship service communion on the first Sunday of every month. More often than not, we will pass the elements to one another to remind us that we are the priesthood of believers. But there will be times when we will be asked to come forward and to receive the elements as we are reminded of our own walk to Emmaus, our own journey of discipleship, and how Christ feeds us and cares for us. I gave the youngest disciples a challenge this morning that in the coming weeks, the days of this week, that they look for the presence of Christ in the most unexpected places. That more often than not, Christ comes as a stranger. As I was telling that story, I was reminded of an old fable about a cobbler named Martin, who was in Russia, who one evening prayed that he might be able to have the risen Lord visit him the very next day. The prayer turned into a dream, and the dream seemed so real that all day long he looked for Christ to enter into his home. The day had to turn cold and rainy, not unlike today's that we had most recently. And he looked out the window of his little shop and saw a woman huddled against the weather, carrying a child, protecting him from the wind and the rain. And Martin invited her in and gave her some hot tea and went into his old closet that where his wife's clothing was, his wife who had passed decades earlier. He found her best wool coat and gave it to the woman. And he found a baby blanket that had never been used, but that had been given to them. And she wrapped her child in that blanket. Next, as he looked out the window, he saw old Abraham trying to sweep the streets in the midst of the rain. He was an old war veteran with metal still pinned on his coat. But he was old and frail, and the weather was getting the best of him. So Martin invited him into his shop to have a cup of tea and some of his cabbage soup. And when Martin had warmed his soul and his body, he went back out into the weather to finish his job. And finally, as the day drew to a close, Martin heard a noise outside and a racket. And there was a woman peddling apples who had grabbed the little boy by the ear because he tried to steal one of the apples and run away. Martin went out to ask what was going on. The boy was hungry. He had nothing to eat all day. The woman had no tolerance for a thief, hungry or not. Martin paid the woman for the apple, and the boy went on his way. And that night when Martin went to bed and closed his eyes, he prayed to the Lord saying, "I thought you were going to visit me today, but you did not." And the voice of the Lord came to him as he was about to go to sleep. "I came to you in the woman who was cold, and you gave her warmth. In the old war veteran who was neglected, and you cared for him. In the child who was hungry, and you fed him. I came to you when you ministered to the least, the last, and the lost. I came to you in ways you did not recognize, and at times when you least expected it. So as you continue on your Emmaus journey, look for the stranger in your midst. Look for the presence of the risen Lord. To God be the glory both now and forevermore. Amen.